15 to 20 million.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area. So go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in on 860 AM. Now, if they live outside Philadelphia and the tri-state area, they can also listen from anywhere in the world simply by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a number of exceptional guests with us today, but I just want to say one thing before I get into greeting everyone, and that is, as I go around, people ask me, Michael, what is really the mission of American Workers Radio? And I say, well, we focus on what our supporters want to hear, which is ways to support America and American workers. We also direct our message to people who agree that America needs major changes and focus on ways to bring those changes about. And by the way, we also represent Americans who know we can't continue the way we are going today. And most importantly, we understand that some people don't care, and I know that a lot of people don't care, but we remain focused on our message, and we represent the doers, the people who want to do something to help America spend more of their money. They're going out of their way to speak up at the stores and make sure that America is on the top of the list and not on the bottom of the list. That's our mission, and that's because we have great people on our panel who I'll introduce in a few seconds. And I also would like to mention, I wish we had more national as well as local media outlets promoting the American-made issue and jobs as we are doing on a regular basis right here on American Workers Radio. The members of our panel represent a weekly get-together who represent the needs of our supporters, and we're very grateful for their participation. Joining us today, we have Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store, which marked its fifth anniversary last Saturday, and I'm sure Mark will be telling us about that event as time goes on today. We also have Rich Loges, who is the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and Larkin Connolly is a regular member of the panel, but he's on travel today. I'm Michael Blihash, and I have to do that by FCC rules, constantly let you know who I am. And I'm with Henry Chaplinsky, who is our broadcast engineer, and our broadcast today is going to be sent out on the internet after the show, so I ask that you automatically send it out to all of your friends so they'll be able to listen to the broadcast. With us, I also have Walt Jakubowski, an educator who served 10 years as the Dean of Technical Education at Delaware County, Pennsylvania Community College. And our special guest for today is Dr. Dolores Szymański, a longtime educator at Burlington County, New Jersey Institute of Technology School District. She worked in the district for 28 years plus, served 6 years as the superintendent, and I think that I'm going to ask Dolores Szymański to let us know a little bit about herself. Welcome, Dolores, to American Workers Radio.
Good morning, Michael, and good morning to all. Well, it's a long story, Michael, but I'll try to be brief. I'm currently celebrating my 41st year as an educator. And in those 45 years, I have spent 35 of those years as a teacher and an administrator and ultimately a superintendent of a county vocational and technical school. I started my career in Camden City as a teacher of social studies. And Camden back then looked a lot like it does today. The beginnings of what we have seen of the decay of so many of our urban centers. From there, I went over to the County Vocational School as a reading specialist, and that's where my career really began and my mission to work with the children of New Jersey in a completely different focus started.
Well, Dolores, I want you to know that I've known Dolores, Dr. Dolores, today for a long time. Her and her husband, George, are great supporters of the community. I don't think Dolores doesn't know how to make a lot of specialty dishes, but she's the best. She's a great supporter of everything.
And I make the best bigos in the world.
The best bigos in the world.
Yes.
You know, Walt told me this morning that he is having the Jakubowski family reunion, and he says, I can't come in the studio today because we're cooking gołąbki and pierogi, something, Dolores, you're an expert at. But Dolores, I want you to first be introduced to Mark Andel, and I know that you saw the movie with Mark. And Mark, our guest is going to be here, and I want you to take over the broadcast with her, you, Walt, and Rich, who are with us today, and let's see how the three of us, along with her, can make sure that she is right on mark to get us back on to where we should be. Mark.
How you doing, guys and listeners? Dolores, welcome. And Mike, you know, we had our five-year event at the Made in America store last Saturday, and I can't believe what a day it turned out. The weather was iffy and shaky, but it was Armed Forces Day also. We ended up having 500 to 1,000 people. My barbecue guys sold out. Alpacas was there, and we had my buddy Chainsawing, but we had three bands. But what the community really came together, and the Made in America store, when it started April 3rd, 2010, you know, it was an idea. People thought I was a little crazy. What are you doing? Well, I said, I'm going to support our country, our soldier and American workers, people that work with their hands. But the turnout Saturday really re-energized us, my team, my family, and we had media come. We had 10 interviews, Mike. You would have loved it. TV4, TV7, Time Warner News here. And then we had, you know, the local B and newspapers come. I haven't had that in a long time where they came to the event. So it sparked my whole team, gave us all confidence about the movement, but people cared. Not only was it Armed Forces Day, but we made it 5 years to have five stores and up to 6,600 products made by Americans in American factories. So, you know, Dr. Dolores, I don't know how much you know about myself or our mission and our movement, but our goal is to create and save jobs in the United States of America by increasing American manufacturing and raising awareness, but also the skilled trades push, which I'm very interested in. I think you said 45 years as an educator, so hats off to you. The movie, I believe you said you've seen, the goal of that movie is to be taught in every school in the United States as a curriculum, which they just won all the Georgia schools for this August, feed 960 Georgia schools that movie and teach it from 5th grade to 12th grade.
Well, Dr. Dolores, I want to tell you, this may be an opportunity for you to bring that to the district there in New Jersey.
Yeah, it would fit very nicely with one of our state initiatives. Back in October of 2014, the state of New Jersey passed what we call our career-ready practices, and it fits beautifully with Mark's initiative. What we're trying to do is to develop the American worker, and it should be integrated in our entire curriculum from K through 12. And these are really 12 career-ready practices that the state has developed based upon what employers want. There are numerous organizations within the state of New Jersey, but one of the major ones that was a contributor to this was the New Jersey Employer Coalition for Technical Education. And there are large companies like BMW, New Jersey companies like PSC&G, plus local companies that are involved with our schools, telling us what they want from their workers. So that was translated into a statewide initiative. As I said, these career-ready practices. What do employers want? They want a responsible employee. They want someone who has academic and technical skills. They want someone who takes care of their personal health and understands how to take care of their own financial well-being. They want them to be able to communicate effectively, both the written word as well as verbal communication. They want their workers to be creative and innovative. They want their workers to be reliable, to use research strategies, to be able to problem solve, to work as a team. So all of these things, as I said, have been passed by our New Jersey DOE and are going to be incorporated across the board K through 12. We're very lucky right now in this school district in which I serve that one of our teachers is on the committee, which is developing real-life things that are going to be implemented in the curriculum. So our teachers will have something hands-on to teach. So hopefully, by the time our students are college and career ready, by the end of 12th grade, they're going to be somebody that employers want.
Boy, Dr. Lewis, I have to tell you, that is great news to hear. We have to duplicate that type of a program across the USA. Rich, how would you like to welcome our guest?
Doctor, good morning. Thanks so much for being on. And clearly, your resume and experience in this industry are impressive. As I always say, I have a four-year bachelor's degree from a private college, but I also do have a PhD, public high school diploma. So I was a product, I suppose, of both. But I want to ask you something, and it's a broad question, so sorry it's a little broad, but I want to get your perspective on this. How often and frequently do you find yourself being asked, hey, doctor, what's our problems with education? How do we fix things? What are the hang-ups? What are the issues? Is that something that's common?
It sure is.
A lot?
It sure is.
How do you answer? I mean, what are some of the things you bring up as bullet points to try to talk about that?
Well, again, many of my years have been in urban or urban-like education. And we as schools take on so much of the responsibility of what happens to a child. But we realize that in most cases we are 6.5 hours of a child's day. What we need to do is to focus on what happens in the rest of the time in the child's life, so that we can work collaboratively with other social agencies and with families to make sure that children are ready. One of the things that I also do, and I believe that there are a couple of things that need to happen in education. I work with the United Way of Southern New Jersey and the Greater Philadelphia area, and I serve as the chair of the Impact Council, and specifically, I work directly with the Education Impact Council. And one of the things that we believe is one of the most important things that is going to change what happens in terms of education is a universal preschool, so that children will come into school ready to learn and with basic knowledge, skills, and dispositions to be able to learn. We also know that another linchpin is the transition from third to fourth grade, and that's a key time because children are then making the transition from learning to read to reading to learn. So again, efforts have to be put into literacy at that level. We also know that there is a transition from middle school to high school, which is an incredible transition. And how many kids do we lose during that time? In New Jersey here, we have an excellent graduation rate, but that's a statewide average. But in so many pockets, we are losing children. And there really needs to be more of an emphasis put on, again, the knowledge, skills, and dispositions that youngsters need to learn and to stay in school. So they're really three of the key elements that I believe need to happen to make our educational system work better. I'm also, again, spending so much time in career and technical education. I truly believe in what happens in those schools. In New Jersey, we have 32,000 students who are enrolled in the county vocational and technical schools. 17,000 more children were not able to attend who made application last year. So the fourth component that I would say is that broaden that so that more children will have access to a quality career and technical education, which will make them college and career ready.
And Dolores, I have to ask you this. Was that because they didn't have the funds?
Space.
Space and funds.
Space and funds. It's twofold.
So in other words, if they had the funds, they'd make the space and more children would be able to have access to an education that could lead to a career.
Yes.
Wow. Dolores, Rich, Mark, hold on. I'm going to ask Walt Jakubowski, who's also an educator and a dean of a Delaware County College, to welcome our guest, Dolores Szymański. Walter.
Good morning, everyone. Dr. Dolores, I commend you for spending so much time in your career on a career in technical vocational education. In our part of the country, specifically the East Coast, we do not place enough value on that type of education. And to have someone as passionate as you to be able to move that forward is, from my perspective, very commendable. The second thing is in developing programming to be able to get employer input as to what do we need, and to be able to have the practitioners, the business owners, working with academia to develop some bona fide curricula that it will actually prepare people to enter the workforce. I know in my career at the post-secondary level, at the community college level, I've always run into with traditional faculty as to why are you putting programs that you have, such as automotive technology and robotics and automated manufacturing, mm-hmm. in the same class as we do when we are teaching social studies and math and computer science and engineering and things of that nature. So I always, with my colleagues, faculty, and the other deans, did not pretty much value what we were doing. And I would remind them constantly, and I, as I've mentioned on this program, you could go to Penn State University and get a PhD in ice cream making, and they call it dairy science, and that is one of the most popular programs.
Yes.
At Penn State in dairy science. The other disturbing thing that I've seen is, and Michael knows this, I've been getting involved with an organization that brings exchange students into the United States for one calendar year and placing them in homes. And the Department of State, our department, which regulates these programs, will allow people to go to colleges and universities and comprehensive high schools, but they will not permit a student to come over and partake in any vocational program whatsoever. So this is our Department of State. So it's, as we keep saying, as Mark and Rich and Larkin and Michael know, it's a very uphill battle when it comes to be able to get support for the type of work that you're doing and also the type of work that I do.
Very well said.
Yes.
Dolores.
Yeah, there is a lot of truth to that. And I think it's because people have not made the jump from what was your father's vocational school to what is happening in career and technical education today. I remember very well as a young person, our local vocational school was a Philadelphia Vocational District Vocational School, which is now closed. And the perception was that's where kids went who couldn't succeed anywhere else.
Exactly.
And, you know, that is a mindset that we and have worked very hard in our field to put to rest. Vocational and in the statute is still called vocational education, but you know, modern lingo is career and technical education. Mm-hmm. And we have worked very hard, and we have a New Jersey Council of County Vocational and Technical Schools, which is an umbrella group that serves all 21 vocational schools and really helps to get our message out is how we have changed. Let's say we're lobbyists, and we work directly with the New Jersey Department of Education as well as higher education because it is an image change. Of course, we still serve what people want in terms of hands-on things so that our students leave us with, they can still go into the auto mechanics field. They can still go out into the cosmetology field. They can still go into graphic design. But they are also getting the knowledge, skills, and dispositions which allow them to move into other fields as well. So if one of our youngsters is in a, you know, one of our health occupations courses, they can have, again, the skills to go on, to go to college and do something else. There are also within the career and technical areas very high-level courses in high technology. There's high technology high school. There's communications high school. What people fail to realize is when U.S. News and World Reports just put out their 100 top high schools in the entire country, three of those in the top 50 were career and technical high schools, public schools in the state of New Jersey. We've changed. And we have to get that message out so that the scenario that Walt just told us goes away.
Yeah, I'd
I
like
totally
to just
agree.
Add something
in fact, several years ago, again, my world has been in post-secondary, specifically mm-hmm. with the community college system, which I love, the community college system. I was the consultant for the 19 community colleges in New Jersey that put together an associate degree in technical studies.
Okay.
And what this does is allow students, I've got to watch how I say this, but students that do not have an IEP that can actually produce and show that they have the competency and the skills necessary in a specific career and technical program to get advanced standing with a degree in technical studies. And it's also being supported with a kind of what Drexel University does with their co-op program, where they will spend, it's called a college-sponsored learning experience, where they will go into industry during a semester and spend several hours and earn college credit by actually doing hands-on work for the major that they're involved in career and technical education. So the involvement between the secondary schools, the community college system, and business and industry needs to have that type of an alignment to be able to show parents, to be able to show the children, and to be able to show everyone that these are very, very viable careers that pay excellent money, and there's a lot of reward and satisfaction for people who enter those careers.
Absolutely, Walt. And what I need to add to what I have done over the years is that we had an adult education component as well. So I'm familiar with the post-secondary world. And one of the things that's so intriguing about that is that our students in the high school area, with the cooperation and collaboration with the county colleges, as Walt described, earn college credits while they are in high school because we have articulation agreements. Mm-hmm. So with the emphasis on what college costs, this is such a win-win for families as well.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe this conversation between the two of you. This is unbelievable. Rich, you were going to add in something.
Yeah, and Doctor, just as a side note on this, what I'm working on is looking to get a guest on air, just stay tuned, who recently wrote an opinion piece in the New York Times. He's a law professor talking about that one of the primary reasons that college costs have gone up so much is because of all of the heavy public subsidies and investments in college. So that's going to, I think you're going to love this guy when he comes on. I'm going to get him on. I'm going to harass him until he gets on. He's West Coast, so he's going to have to get up early for us. But he wrote an opinion piece, which I'll send to Michael. He'll get it to you, who talks about one of the primary reasons that we've seen this incredible increase in college costs, which really wasn't an increase in costs in the classroom. It was for administrators and all kinds of other top-heavy expenditures. A lot of it had to do with public monies that have come into college. So that's going to make for some, I think, some great discussion. So as an FYI, but Doctor, here's one thing I want to ask you, and it's something that I find myself talking about regularly. I'm a business owner, and when I talk with MBA students and college graduates, it seems to me like everybody is just steered toward chase the money. Every MBA student whom I talk to, the first thing out of their mouths, Doctor, has to do with, well, I'm going to get an MBA so I can go and make $60,000, $70,000 a year. I was offered a job at $45,000, $50,000, but I have an MBA. I'm not going to take that. And I look at this person and say, did you get educated at all? I mean, what the hell is it that you actually learned in your classes? And these are students, some of whom I know, who are going to be grads from some really premier business schools in the country. Like, for example, you know Stanford, right? Stanford Business School. Yeah, I didn't go there, but I've known someone who did or is ready to finish. And the first thing out of his mouth is just going to you're going to do this. And I'm sitting here going, did you actually learn anything? And I know why, in part, why, Doctor, he's thinking that way, because he's been conditioned and steered in that direction. And it seems to me like one of the great things about our free market, and we have flaws, we're not perfect, there are things that are serious flaws with the way that businesses can start up, and not to go on that tangent, but it seems like you can really make a living when you're good at something and pretty much anything you want. So isn't education, shouldn't we have like a basic standard that when you finish high school, you can do basic arithmetic in your head and you can do kind of basic math regardless of what it is that you study? And I think the data shows that we're not even really successful at the basics. So where did it all, what's happened? I mean, do we need to blow the whole thing up? Do we need to just start all over again? And I don't proclaim to know. You've got more experience, and as I said, your resume is impressive. But I look at the way schools and education right now, it's a business like any other. It's a business like selling fast food hamburgers or sports teams.
Right now, one of the things that it's a great deal of controversy right now, and that is the whole concept of standardized testing. There has been national pushback concerning the taking of the standardized tests, the ones that are primarily aligned with the Common Core standards, which are extremely rigorous standards. The benchmarks that kids have to meet in language arts literacy and mathematics. And a lot of the pushback is that the tests were designed by companies that are profiting from the testing, and money and time really isn't putting into the education of our students, but rather putting it in the pockets of companies who are developing tests.
Boy,
so this is
Loris,
a national issue.
I could have a conversation with you about the people who profit from these tests, and I've objected, not even before this, to certain types of people who have been around the country, have been in the Department of Ed, who have started and gotten involved with testing organizations,
mm-hmm.
who are absolutely making a fortune off of this, and it's I just almost have to look at the integrity of some of this.
Yeah, and there's a national movement where parents are refusing to have their children tested. So that's one of the issues right now. And again, we can't paint the achievement in our country with broad strokes.
No.
I think in most cases, schools are doing a good job. kids are leaving, and again, I'm only familiar with New Jersey. You know, I'm only in this little pocket of the world. You know, we're a little dense, but, you know, we're still a little pocket of the world. And as I said, we have an exceptional graduation rate in relation to the rest of the country. The school district where I am right now, we have 100% graduation rate. What does it take? It takes teachers who are dedicated to their craft. It takes parents who will spend time and effort working with their children, working collaboratively with the schools. It's the administration taking a holistic look of the child and making sure that they get everything that they require in order to be successful. And that package that I just described doesn't happen everywhere. And as I said all the way back in the beginning of our conversation, we're only 6.5 hours of a child's life. We need to have the cooperation and the ability to work with families, which is just a key issue.
I could not agree more. In fact, I was a little shocked when I heard Arne Duncan, I guess it was last week, talking about setting up bordering school systems
in
the United States. Did you hear about this?
Well, in fact, this isn't. Last year, there was a proposal in Camden City, which is, you know, on my radar, to set up a boarding school so that children would be brought out of their immediate element and put in, I guess you would call, a controlled environment where they would get everything that they could possibly need or want in order to be successful.
That pulls
it's an interesting model.
Out of the equation in most cases, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, my daughter used to teach at Leap Academy.
Oh, okay.
She's now in the Bordentown School District.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Mark, I know that you were waiting to ask the doctor something, and I'll tell you, this is a very interesting conversation between everyone.
Yeah, Dr. And Walt, welcome. You know, Walt and Mike and Rich, you know me. I have four children, Doctor, and my daughter is 12. She's my boss. And, you know, Jessie went to Catholic school and just switched to public school this year. She's in the seventh grade. She did take tech there. They only had one tech course. When I went to school there, they had metal shop, wood shop, power mechanics. And I always said that teachers and guidance counselors have to make it okay to work with your hands. It can't be treated like doing drugs or, you know, something bad. And I think we touched on that. But Jessie's doing well. She loved the tech class. She knew how to hold a hammer, how to solder for me already. Very smart. Now, she came from that Catholic school to a public, and she's adjusting real well. My twin boys are 20, and they graduated. One's in ECC, which is a community college, taking business. The other one is just working at this point, deciding what he wants to do, and they all have a place to work with me while they want to. And then my other boy runs a store for me. We just recently tied with Alfred Tech. I spent about a year because my biggest problem, I own General Welding and Fabricating. I have two plants, a 48,000-square-foot plant in Buffalo and one in Rochester. And my number one problem last year was skilled workers. So I run 70 employees. We run three shifts. We've got AutoCAD, welding, machining. Our motto is you dream it, we build it. So we do a lot of different things. But finding welders last year, my oil and mining work came back. My military contracts came back. We do a joint threat emitter system for the military to train pilots. But we could not find a skilled worker to save our life. I needed 20, and I found one. So I tied with Alfred Tech, met the teachers about 6 months ago, went down, spent about 4 hours, gave them each a movie. They said, Mark, how do we keep you in business? I said, why is that? Well, we need to have a business, so we need to create these workers. And we tied real well. We've got seven students coming tonight from Alfred Tech on their first year. It's a two-year program. They get an associate's degree. The teachers are real tough. They're teaching them about what the workforce needs, what I as a business owner need, meaning if they're late, they get 4 points off their final average. 4 points for just being late once, because they know punctuality, positive attitude. Mm-hmm. They have to show up because it is a new world. It is a different society. So tying with Alfred Tech, seven students coming tonight that live within 20 miles from my business, which is incredible, out of the 40 that are passing. Then I tied with Lincoln Tech. out of Ohio. I just hired two technical students that just finished their one-year course. It's a $28,000 course, but these people are ready to go. And then with the movie, the movie's called The American-Made Movie, but the initiative is the National Education Initiative. That's what the Georgia schools had taken. And when I was down there with the governor and we, you know, they okayed this movie to be taught in all the schools this August, they also had the heads of Georgia Tech there, and boy, did we hit it off, because we know what the problem, the skilled worker shortage is the problem with growing this economy. You cannot grow this economy unless we get these skilled workers going. And I think this all ties together with my Made in America stores. Of course, we're looking for more and more Made in America products. If we don't have skilled workers, we can't grow them. I work with Channelock as my number one customer. Their average age of the workforce is 60 years old. They have no one to replace these workers in 5 years when they need them. So I guess, you know, tying with the schools, you touched on it. You've got great passion. You and Walt, outstanding. We need more and more you know, Dr. Dolores is in Waltz, and get these schools to recognize the problem and the shortage that all kids ain't one shoe fits all.
Exactly. I understand absolutely, Mark. And again, I'm when I talk from a high school perspective, you touched on the welders and how much was his program, a $28,000 a year program?
9 month program from Lincoln Tech. I couldn't believe it. I actually found two good kids, but I couldn't believe they paid $28,000 for 9 months.
Right.
And hopefully I'll let you know.
And I guess my bottom line with this is that it's public education's responsibility to train those workers for you. If you were here in New Jersey with me, I could give you graduates from our program who have the national welding certification that you would require.
They're right.
And those children paid $0 for that education.
See, that's outstanding. I work with the local. We've got BOCES in New York, so I just have 5 students now. We do school-to-work related programs. They get 50 hours and get a half credit. Mm-hmm. But I wish I had something like what you're talking about, because I could take them. A lot of these kids never welded at all, so we're teaching them how to hold a gun. And we do MIG, TIG, and SICK and technical welding. And like the myth would be, it's old stick welding outside dirty. But we got some really fine, we do apple presses and food grade and pharmaceutical equipment.
And I think one of the other aspects of this is that one of the things that we also do in our vocational schools in New Jersey is customized training, so that we would come to you and train your workers for you.
Hmm. Beautiful.
But, yeah, it's a service that is very valuable. And again, we have been subscribed to by the employers my county, and also statewide.
We need to spread that.
And our kids get to go for free, you know?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have to take a very short, brief moment to acknowledge our sponsors. They will be acknowledged throughout the rest of the broadcast during this week and on Saturday and Sunday as well. Thanks for the support of Leon Monkowski, attorney at law, to Mr. Chester Kshanowski, Sedena's Auto Body Shop with 2 locations, Net Cost Market, 117,001 Busselton Avenue, the PRCUA, the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, and Mr. Joseph Drobot, National President, Mr. Michael Steinman, Attorney at Law, Dr. Eva Machak, she has 2 dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you. Also, Polka Deli's located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue. And if you're planning to do some travel, remember that Polish American Travel Service is located at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia. When you're out shopping, remember the name Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928. Also, Mr. Martin Bednarek, who is the president of Washington Savings Bank, serving the Philadelphia area, reminds you to make sure you go to Washington Bank for all of your banking needs. And Yolanda Konopatska, the Scipio attorney at law, represents clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey, as does Karen Janot of State Farm Insurance, offering auto, home, and life insurance plans. And for a great smile also, Dr. Vojimir Zin and Everest Dental, located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, are very pleased to support today's edition of American Workers Radio. Also, best wishes and thanks for supporting American Made, and best wishes for a very enjoyable Memorial holiday. Memorial Day holiday is one thing. Memorial Day is to honor our veterans. Make sure you do that during this upcoming week. And that is a message from all of us at American Workers Radio, as well as from Mr. Frank Spula, who is the national president of the PNA, the Polish National Alliance. Also, best wishes to you and yours from everyone from the Polish and Slavic Federal Credit Union. Check them out on the internet at psfcu.com. And remember, the Sugar House Casino is located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia. Our thanks to all of these people who are helping bring this outstanding broadcast to you today. And I would also like to encourage you to check out the front page of our internet site, where you'll find several links. And we were talking last week about the fast track and all that's going on with these trade agreements. Well, there's a special commentary up there on the front page right next to Mark's picture, and you can go on that and it'll go right to the individual agreements. And I ask that you contact your national elected leaders and let them know how you feel these agreements are doing. The commentary will give you a lot of information about how you should be responding to them. Also, there's a picture of Diane Sawyer, and that is from 5 years ago, and it's celebrating Mark's fifth anniversary of the store, the Made in America store. And I can't thank Mark enough for all that he has done to bring attention to what we're trying to do on American Workers Radio. But before we go back to the general discussion, and Dr. Dolores Szymański, I want to thank you. Not everywhere I see the good doctor, she is out having a good time. She's a great community supporter, and I can't thank her enough for all that her and her husband George do in the community. And just knowing all that you're doing in the education field is unbelievable as well. We have to ask you to come back again and again, along with Walt Jakubowski and Mark Andel and Rich Logis and so many of our special guests, because we have elected people, we have people in the school system who are all starting to talk about this. As I said earlier today, we have a number of people who are focused on what we are doing. We'll never get everybody to do it, but the people who are looking to help us, we have to cater to them and what they believe. We want our schools to be a great success because we're helping to pay for them. And we've learned a lot just by listening to you today, Dr. Dolores. But let me just tell you one thing. Within the last few weeks and over the next 2 weeks, we're going to have over 1,800,000 young men and women graduating from 3,100 universities and colleges across the USA with various degrees. Now, I looked at last year's statistic. 25% of the graduates from 2014 were able to get jobs related to their college degree. 45% of the people graduating were able to get jobs that required no college degree. And 25% of last year's graduates are in low-wage or part-time jobs. Now, based on the fact that we are shipping so many jobs outside of America, downsizing our industries, I think that needs to be totally reversed. And I think a lot of what was discussed here earlier today brings about the fact that we have got to restore technology in America, vocational arts, vocational educations, the trades and everything else. Why should all of those products be coming to America all ready to go on the shelf? Why aren't we making them here? Guys, let me hear what you have to say.
Doctor, it's Rich here again. So I want to just mention a point you brought up earlier about the broad strokes. Broad stroke education just seems to me, as someone who's not educated or trained in the profession of how to educate, broad stroke education just seems like the antithesis to effective education. And there's there's got to be, I guess, a balance, though, right? Because I wouldn't mind a broad stroke if students, for the most part, could do basic math, could write in grammatically correct sentences, but those are basics.
Yes, they are.
Those are, I mean, if you're, the minimum expectations got to be that we meet the minimum expectation, at the very least. And I don't want to be someone to come on air and profess baby steps. Baby steps are for babies. We're talking young men and women who are, right, many of the ones you meet, they're old enough to drive. They'll soon be old enough to serve in the military. They need to be treated like men and women. I mean, they need to be talked to like men and women, but have that balance of nurturing but not too much. Because, you know, doctor, when you make things really too easy or you make them really too hard, they tend to be equally ineffective, too easy and too difficult. So perfection, while we'd all love to obtain that, I realize is not usually realistic. But the pursuit of perfection at least needs to start with, do students meet the minimum expectations? And do we need to also have a discussion? Like, why can't – I grew up in Westchester County. Westchester County, New York, for our listeners, has the highest property taxes of any county in America. Why do people move there? Because of families, neighborhoods, and schooling. You have some of the most affluent school districts in the country in Westchester County. So no one will question the basics there. But do we need to have neighborhoods that only have multi-million-dollar homes where students are getting the minimum expected requirement of education? You know, middle class, we talk a lot about that class, that group, doctor, on this show. And that middle class, that's that group that the politicians, they talk a lot about it, but middle-class people don't give $10 million to political campaigns. So that middle-class group, they're the ones that will start the businesses. They're the ones that will improve communities. They're the ones that need to have an interest in children. And that's the group that when they start businesses, they're going to be able to create more jobs. And also there's what we call the poor in America. And the poor in America, there's a big segment, I bet, that's right on the cusp of poor and middle class. And if there are more and more businesses starting up and growing and expanding, that group right there, that poor that's right on the cusp, now there's opportunity for them. There's economic opportunity for them. But as a business owner, doctor, I'll tell you that a significant percentage of our customers will tell me, if they were on the show right now, they'd say, Rich, if I had to start my business today, I wouldn't. Why? Because right now, we're still experiencing something in our economy that, in my opinion, is the biggest stunt to growth, and that is uncertainty. That's the thing. So education, do you think it's – to me, it is an economic issue. Absolutely. But it's also an issue of how monies are spent. And you mentioned teachers. The teachers are the most important people in any school district, my opinion.
Absolutely.
My opinion. They're the soldiers. They're the ones that are on the street. They're the ones dealing with the students, dealing with the parents. And by the way, doctor, they're also the ones that need to deal with all of that BS of standardized tests and all of that other stuff, right? Because they have to abide by that as well. So their hands are pretty tied also in the way that they want to educate.
You know, Rich, we were speaking earlier, and Dr. Szymański, you mentioned that there were 17,000 more students would like to get into your program. Now, that's in the district that you...
Well, that's the state of New Jersey.
That's the state of New Jersey. Do you think that if it was encouraged, you would be able to double and triple that amount of students if the classrooms freed up and you were able to reinstall a lot of the equipment to let the boys and girls know about some of this vocational arts programs?
I guess what has happened throughout the years, Michael, is that, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, many of our comprehensive high schools still had programs so that they would still have a, let's say, a print shop program or a culinary arts program, or they offered CAD, let's say. Some of them even had auto mechanic shops. So these were the comprehensive high schools, your local school districts from your town or from your region. What's happened over the years is the cost of career and technical education is expensive. It's expensive to run a program. When you were doing your advertisers, one of the things that jumped out at me was the auto body sponsor. To install a paint booth in a school is going to cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars. Local school districts that are fighting for textbook money and to keep your property taxes down, and here we have a 2% cap that we could go to go out, you can't afford to buy that equipment. So, again, the trend through the last 10 to 15 years has been to dismantle the career and technical programs in the local school districts and to really make it the business of the county vocational schools, because it's a different kind of funding formula. It's state funding with county support, as well as federal dollars if you qualify for grants and things of that nature. So, again, it's expensive for them, too. So in order to expand programming, you have to have buy-in from the state as well as from your local freeholders board, which I guess is like our I don't know what you'd call it in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, but your county government.
It's county
so, you know, it's really an economic issue.
You know, Dolores, let me say this. I believe at this point in America's history, we have to jump over this hurdle, not try to run over it, but jump over it and get back to where we were 15 years ago, when boys and girls were able to get out of school and have at least something to go to. When you hear the statistics of so many boys and girls coming out of school with nowhere to go, many of the people that even contact our agency say, I'm looking for two jobs because the jobs that I have, there's no way for me to begin repaying my student loans. That's
exactly.
Frightening to hear.
Yeah, when we spoke recently, Michael, I told you the story about me leaving Camden City and going to the county vocational school. And I had my aha moment. And I realized that we were doing more than giving kids skills to go out and get a job. We were giving them hope. We were giving them the hope that they could make a living, to have a family, and to have a home, and to be productive members of society. I think when we're training a worker to go out and do that, we're in the hope business.
You're right. Oh, my God, are you right? And that's exactly what we do on our broadcast. We keep the people who want to have hope for the future right now, as well as for the future, together. There's so little hope left in some situations that a broadcast like this and people like Walt and yourself and Mark and Rich and Larkin and all of us working together, it's almost unheard of. All you hear on the news is all negativity. We're trying to talk and educate people about the way things were and the way things could be if we work together to change them.
And Mike, you know, we call it the 30-year mistake sometimes on the show, and we got to admit it, and, you know, we say we can and other people have to, but Dr. Dolores, when you say you give hope, when I opened that store April 3rd, 2010, 800 people flooded this little parking lot. And usually it's 50 people, and it's my family getting a free hot dog. These people all thanked me because I gave them hope.
Yes.
So you just struck a nerve there. You know, that's something, if you can do that in life, give hope. And we call it rebuilding the American dream. That was our campaign for years here. And that's what we're doing, and I think that's what we're all talking about today.
Well, I hate to tell you, but we're almost out of time. But so we have a few minutes to say. But Dolores, you know this is, you know how I am. You know me for a long time. You never get away. Once you come on, you're on forever. So we're going to depend on you being with us from time to time. Summer season is here. We're going to have to maybe have a little forum with some of our Philadelphia area educators. Let them know what you're doing in New Jersey. Walt can let them know what was done in Delaware County. People have got to get together with the people who are distributing the tax dollars to these schools to know what has really been helpful in the past and what's needed to be restored right now. Dr. Dolores, I want to thank you for tuning in.
you're welcome.
Being with us today. I'm going to send you, and by the way, when I send out the notice today, Henry said he's going to put a picture of you. So we'll have a picture of you. You'll be able to send it out to all of your family, friends, and school associates. And Walt Jakubowski, thank you for being part of our broadcast today. I want to get you and Dolores together, and let's see what we can do to maybe talk to some of the people here in the state of Pennsylvania to restore some of these programs. Mark Andel, I want you to know I'm always very proud of you. You make us proud just knowing you, having you visited Philadelphia in the last month has been a great pleasure. I can't tell you enough how many good things I hear about what you do. We're going to be doing more things in the future. Rich, we love your opinions. Thank you for your endless participation on the broadcast. And at this time, I want to wish all of you a very enjoyable Memorial Day. Don't forget that Memorial Day is a time to honor those who fought and died for America's freedom. It's not just the time for hot dogs and lagers. Go out and enjoy some of those great celebrations where the people are being honored for what they've done for America. Mark, what do you have for final words?
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody. What a great show today, Dr. Dolores. You got the passion, and thank you for all you do. That's what we have to do is change our tech schools and teach them common skills. Walt, nice to meet you when I was down in Philadelphia. Rich, I had talked to Mr. Austin, great guy. I'll talk to you more on that later. But have a great week. Like Mike said, celebrate Memorial Day. You know, all veterans, I honor our veterans always at our store, and I've got a lot of family servants. So it's a big day. Have a great weekend, guys. Very nice to talk to you.
Rich?
Yeah, thanks, everyone, for being on. And to echo Mark, happy Memorial Day to our vets, regardless of our opinions of the wars overseas. To troops who are always above that for their sacrifice, and especially to Jim Austin, a guest on our show. Thanks, everyone. Happy Memorial Day, and let's get those troops home ASAP.
Okay. Walt?
Yes, again, it's been a pleasure being here, pleasure meeting with you, Dr. Dolores. And I just want everybody to know I own and have a canine citizen dog, and on Memorial Day we will be visiting veterans hospitals and having the vets being able to pet my dog.
Very nice. And, Walt, you're having a big family reunion this week.
Yes, in fact.
65 Jakubowskis in one place. Oy, oy, oy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. My very best wishes. Dr. Dolores Szymański, you have been a great guest. We're going to ask you to come on again so that we'll be able to talk about what can be done to restore these programs in our schools now rather than later.
Until, thank you, Michael.
Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish all of you the very best. Tune in tomorrow for Barbara at 11 a.m. here on 860 a.m. Best wishes for a great Memorial Day. Make sure you salute your veterans and go to the cemeteries and visit some of the ceremonies that they'll be having. Have a great one.
Fly your flags, guys. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.